You're listening to Orange County's only community radio station, OCTalkRadio.net.
An athlete's success in most sports is determined by his or her strength and skill. How fast an athlete can take off a wetsuit or tie their shoes does not usually play a factor in their performance. For one sport, however, how fast one can change outfits is essential to success. The triathlon is a race that combines three sports, swimming, biking, and running, into one event. Although the event requires athletes to be in top physical condition, one leg of the race to the next is included in the overall time, making an athlete's ability to quickly change their gear an important skill that can determine whether they make the cut. I've asked Karen Ellard of SBR Sports Incorporated to be on the show today to share her experiences as an entrepreneur in bringing to market her products TriSwim, Foggle, and TriSlide. All products designed to help athletes in multiple sports achieve improved performance and combat the harsh effects of extreme sports.
You're listening to Orange County's only station with critical business information, Critical Mass, with your host, Rick Franzi.
Welcome to today's episode of Critical Mass, the radio show. I am your host, Rick Franzi. This business talk show airs live on Tuesday and Wednesdays at 4 p.m. If you're listening to this show as a podcast, I would encourage you to listen live or exclusively here on OCTalkRadio.net. The goal for this show is to help you, our listening audience, make better decisions. And if you're listening live and you'd like to join in the conversation with Karen today, please feel free to find the chat room on the OCTalkRadio.net's website. Log in, post your thoughts. My producer, Paul, will check them, bring them to my attention, and possibly we'll work them into the conversation. As I said, this is a business-oriented talk show, and we have an entrepreneur on the show today. I did almost say employees instead of athletes in my open, just because we're so conditioned to be a business talk show. But Karen Ellard's business is around helping athletes, and we're going to talk about that. So, Karen, welcome to Critical Mass, the radio show.
Thanks, Rick.
Why don't we start the interview and ask you to talk to our audience and tell us the story about your experience before you started your firm and sort of the inspiration for why you created the company.
Sure. Well, first of all, I have to apologize if I cough. I have a head cold right now, so trying to battle that. How I got started in this was I was a triathlete, a competitive triathlete, and I was always swimming in the pool, and I found that there needed to be something better on the market to fix my hair. Moving backwards from that point, I was a property manager when I got out of college, and I had grown up in a family full of entrepreneurs, so I was very familiar with starting projects, starting businesses. And then I had kids, and I was a stay-at-home mom, and as my kids got a little older, I was thinking, what do I want to do? And so I was going to go back and get my master's in architecture, got all the books to study the GRE, and I got introduced into triathlon. And I didn't think I could do it because I thought all triathlons were, you know, Ironman distance, which is, what is that? It's a 2.4-mile swim, 112-mile bike, and a 56-mile run. And I thought, there's no way I could do that. And this one gal, she said, oh, sure, you're totally ready for it, because she saw me training in the gym anyway. And so I did my first triathlon, and I was hooked. I caught the bug, as triathletes call it, when you just fall in love with the sport. And so that's kind of how I got involved in triathlon. I scrapped the idea of getting my master's in architecture. I thought triathlon was more fun. And my first race, I did really well. So I thought, maybe I could, you know, really focus on this. So I started competing, and I was in the pool, like I said, and my hair was just, the chlorine just was ruining my hair, and I was having expensive haircuts and colors at the time. And there was one product on the market that we all use, just swimmers, and it was, but it was kind of stripping. It did the job, but it would strip your hair. And so I just thought, there needs to be more of a salon-rated product out there. And that's kind of how we started our first brand.
I'm sorry. I thought you were finished with your thought.
Okay.
I talked over you, Karen. It's just a function of this live radio technology that we're employing here today on Critical Mass, the radio show. I apologize.
That's okay.
So you started with one product, and I think what you were going to say, maybe I talked over that, was you now have multiple products, as I said in the open. How did the one product lead you to other introductions for your clients?
Right. Well, TriSwim, so we started off, we launched it at the Oceanside. I needed to stay close to home just because, you know, it's a small business. You don't have a lot of dollars to be traveling, and so we launched it at Oceanside, which is, of course, down in San Diego, the 70.3 race, and which is a half Ironman distance. And from there, we launched with shampoo, conditioner, shampoo, body wash, and lotion. And within 6 months, we came out with the conditioner. So that was our first product. Our second product is called TriSlide. And that came about when I was, again, you know, competing. And back in the day, we were all using PAM. And if there are any triathletes listening, they're going to be laughing right now. We all used PAM to put on our wetsuits because the triathlon wetsuits are extremely tight. But anything made out of vegetable oil or petroleum-based is going to compromise the neoprene. And I didn't believe what people were telling me. So I continued to use the PAM. You spray it on your ankles, spray it on your wrists. It helps lubricate the skin to put the tight wetsuit on. And then pretty soon my $600 wetsuit disintegrated on me. So I thought, okay, there needs to be something, you know, better out there on the market. And what do I like about PAM? Well, I like the spray application. And I knew that a silicone would work really well with that. So again, our chemist that we have, he formulated something for us and we put it together. And that's how we came out with TriSlide. And the neat thing about TriSlide is that not only is it used to put on wetsuits, but we found that runners were using it to spray in between their toes to prevent blistering. Hot spots, any sort of skin chafing you have. Surfers started using it to prevent rashing or any of the neck hickeys that you get. And cyclists were using it to prevent chamois chafing as well. So, and then we have a third product. It's called Foggle. Foggle is our anti-fog wipe, and that came about when I was doing an open water swim, and all of the anti-fog drops that are on the market right now, you are supposed to squeeze them into the lens and then find a clean cloth to wipe it off. Well, when you're down the ocean, it's hard to find something without sand on it, you know, and it'll scratch up your lens. So I thought, why isn't there an anti-fog that's infused on a little towelette? So, again, my chemist, he formulated a product that we would infuse onto the towelette, and it became a great defogger. Not only does it defog the lens, but it cleans the lens at the same time.
You know, Karen, I love to have entrepreneurs. I love to have all the guests on the show, and we've had, over 360 in the 3 years that Critical Mass has been on the air. But it's always interesting to me to have entrepreneurs on the show, people who, and I define an entrepreneur, creates a company from nothing, right? Mm-hmm. They build it, and they have the inspiration, they take the risk, they create it. And then it's an added bonus when I'm able to have entrepreneurs who started a company based on personal need and realizing there was an opportunity in the market based on their direct experience. And for some reason, June has given me the opportunity to have a number like of such entrepreneurs such as you, because I find that fascinating, because probably many people in our audience can think to personal experiences when they've discovered a lack of a product or maybe insufficient products in the marketplace, but it's always great to have people like you on the show who've not only recognized that, but created a solution and now have taken it and created a company around their direct experience.
Oh, thanks.
And so I want to give you that credit. But the other thing that I heard you say, which is seems to always be the case, is other applications come to you, you know, swimmers, runners, people who maybe weren't your original target audience or market by virtue of word of mouth or whatever it might be, happenstance or maybe marketing effort behind you, you find others who share the requirement for the product but maybe originally weren't in your business plan, so to speak.
Yeah, we, like I said, you know, with the TriSwim, when we came out with that, it was intended just for, well, I marketed towards triathletes only because that was the market that I first knew. And I knew a lot of the store owners of the major companies. So I knew if I could get into the big stores of in triathlon, then all the little stores would follow. And then we found that the swimming world, which we kind of did it backwards. You would think that we would have started with swimmers only and then worked our way to triathletes, but we did it the opposite. Then the swimming world came to us and said, oh, we really like this product. And since then, I'm really proud to say that United States Master Swimming, which is the governing body, one of the governing bodies for swimming in the United States, came to us because all the guys at the head office, they all use TriSwim. And they wanted TriSwim to be the official sponsor for hair and body care for them. So so now we are the official hair and body care for USMS. And then, you know, open water swimmers. Open water swimming is becoming a huge market right now in the United States. It was really big, or it still is really big, in Europe. And it's now crossing over the pond. And people are really getting into the open water swimming, I think, because they're just, you know, swimmers are just getting bored of swimming laps and they want more of a challenge. And so not only does TriSwim work for chlorinated pools, but it also works for saltwater pools. Saltwater pools, through the process, the salt water does turn into a chlorinated form. And you still will get sort of an odor. You'll still get that brassy look. And so TriSwim helps with that. And if you notice, a lot of surfers or people who spend a lot of time in the ocean, their hair is brassy, similar to chlorinated water. So TriSwim does alleviate that. In terms of TriSlide, yeah, I mean, we started off with selling just to triathletes. And then, you know, of course, triathletes do swim, bike, run, but the running market. We do a lot of the rock and roll marathons, and we go and we promote at those, and we're very, you know, pretty, I feel we're pretty successful. We do have one competitor that's been on the market for probably, I would say, a good 20, 25 years, and so we're kind of, you know, having to break everybody's view of, you know, what they used to use and try something new. And so we have gotten into the running market and the cycling market as well. And then this is kind of interesting. A lot of, how would you say? Well, a lot of women, their thighs rub together in the summertime. And so there are a lot of women that use TriSlide to spray. They call it chub rub. And they spray it in between their, you know, the chubby part of their thighs, and it alleviates that problem too, as well as any sort of high-heeled straps that start rubbing or shoes. We have a lot of soccer players that use our product. The TriSlide, they just spray it on and it alleviates all blistering. So it really is crossing over to all sports, which is great. And then the Foggle, same thing. I mean, it started off for swim goggles, but now we're getting into the scuba market, snowboarding, skiing, and hockey, the hockey visors as well. So we have even had firemen who are triathletes at our expos come up and say, hey, can I take one of these samples to see if I can use it on my my firemen, you know, their visors they have down, because I guess they have a severe problem of fogging up. So
sure, they're hot, they're sweating. Okay. I mean, that's got to be another area. I mean, that's, you know, I had Jane Hodgson from IBB Designs LLC on our show earlier this month, and, you know, she too invented a product, a specific product for a market, itty-bitty bra, and what she found was, just through exposure, other people, women, came to her, mostly women, came to her with ideas on how to expand her product line to markets and areas that she hadn't considered. And I hear a lot of the same type of entrepreneurial energy around your company as well, and I really enjoy that, because I just think that means you have a great product, and you understood your initial market well, and now other people are going to help bring you into these other arenas, which really help the company to scale.
Right. Yeah, and even I just thought of this, too. the rowing, U.S. rowing, one of the directors, I've been trying to get in touch with him. Actually, we've been playing phone tag, but they're really interested because the rowers, they chafe underneath their armpits when they're rowing. So a couple of them have tried it. They love it. And so now we're talking about maybe possible sponsorship.
That's great. We're gonna continue this conversation, Karen and I. We're gonna be talking about some other aspects of our company. But when we come back from this first sponsorship message, I'm gonna ask Karen to talk with us about the guiding principle that she's using to lead and grow her firm. But first, here's a word from a sponsor.
Smart Business Network is a business-to-business multimedia company providing insight, advice, and strategy for C-level executives of fast growth, middle market, and large companies. As one of the nation's largest publishers of local management journals, under the Smart Business name, Smart Business Network publishes 19 regional print editions, presents dozens of large and small-scale business conferences and award programs, and produces a vibrant interactive digital media presence. For more information, visit us at www.sbnonline.com.
Welcome back to this installment of Critical Mass, the radio show. This is your host, Rick Franzi. My guest is Karen Ellard of SBR Sports Incorporated, the creator of many products used by the athletic, and I'd like to say the active community, because, you know, people who are active cyclists, they may not consider themselves athletes, but, you know, you're putting your body through some stress and some activity, and, you know, there are results of that, and the products that you've invented so far really do help people kind of respond to that. So tell us about your guiding principle that you're using in your business.
Well, I would have to say that we are so passionate. It kind of goes back to what we were just talking about. We are so passionate about our products. Everyone who works for me is an athlete. And so we carry that passion to other athletes and get them excited. And, you know, honesty. I mean, I know so many companies, and it's funny because when you look at a lot of marketing that goes on now, and just since I've been into the business, you can see through certain marketing aspects. You can see that, you know, through their wording or through their images that they create, you know, they're trying to pass along something that maybe their product isn't quite all there. It's not the greatest product, but they're trying to make it seem like it is. I feel that we have the best products out there, and we all use our products, and that way we can talk passionately about it. And I feel like what goes around comes around too in our line of business. We play very fair. We, you know, sometimes you see business that can be nasty out there, and we are very honest. People know that when they call us that, you know, we'll give them, if they're having a problem, we'll always take care of it right away. Customer's always right. I kind of learned that from my parents, and we're kind of old-fashioned in that way. We don't argue with the customer. We just take care of it and deal with, you know, whatever we have to later on.
That's important, and that is, how do I say this? It's your company and companies like yours that I believe social media can really be valuable for, because to be effective in social media, you have to show up as authentic and transparent, and it's great for the founder, the leader of the company to have a voice. And for companies that really kind of started out of a personal experience and you continue to lead the company, to me it makes perfect sense that social media could be a valuable tool for not only your company, Karen, but others who are listening out there who have entrepreneurial firms that kind of have started this organic way that you have started your firm.
Right.
I think it just makes perfect sense to help build to grow it versus a corporation or a large company that kind of uses social media as that's a channel of marketing that we should use, so let's create a presence there. You know what
right.
I'm saying?
Right. Yeah, you know, it's really nice because we do sponsor quite a few teams. And they have all, usually in triathlon, the season begins, usually people are asking for sponsorship around January, the beginning of the year. And that's when we start working with the teams. They've all come to us saying, hey, there's a good number of us that use your products, and we were wondering if you would like to sponsor our team. So in return, what we do is we either offer them a discount or give them free product, and they go on to, like what you were saying, social media. They'll go on to Facebook or Twitter, and they will post things. They'll put things on the wall, and they're honest about it. We have a lot of bloggers that speak so highly of our products because they just love it. And it is kind of funny because we always say we have kind of a cult following. When we're at expos, people walk by and they'll blurt out and say, oh, we love your product. And it's always nice when you're talking to someone and you're trying to convince them to buy your product, you know, and they hear that. So, yes, they do blog, and they do Facebook, and they do Twitter. And that seems to help out a lot because with a small business, your marketing dollars are very small. And,
yes.
So, you know, there are ways that small businesses can, you know, if you're a manufacturing business, there are ways that you can get into magazines that we've done. We have gone the route of doing product reviews. So you contact editors and they do product reviews and, you know, place those in the magazine. So that's free. And then, you know, like I said, Facebook, Twitter, all of that. Yeah, it's good.
Research shows beyond a shadow of a doubt, mm-hmm. that an independent article that's an unbiased review by a professional or comments made by users in a community setting about your product have significantly more persuasive impact than any formal ad or marketing message that a small company can put together. It's just not as believable. People just gravitate towards people like them who mm-hmm. are saying candid things about your product. It's multiple times more influential. So
well,
that's great.
We find that, so, you know, like we've talked about, you know, different kinds of marketing that we've done. We also send samples out to many races. And we do that to get our logo onto their website and just to, you know, brand awareness, to keep on, you know, pushing it on the people and letting people know it's out there. A lot of times the racers, they'll take these try some samples and, you know, maybe they've never heard of it. They'll throw it in what we call, you know, just a bin. Nobody wants to throw anything like that away, but they don't want to try it. So they'll just throw it in a bin. It just sits there for years. Well, sometimes it's effective to do races, but other times, going back to what you were just saying, it's really effective to have someone who uses the product stand up there, say at a club meeting, and say, I use this product, I love this product, and then pass out the samples. And that's what we do.
It's creative. It's appropriate. It can't be used by every company, but it mm-hmm. certainly is a logical part of a company that is built out of the founder's personal experience and application. It just makes sense, and it is a very organic way to build a company. And as you said, in today's marketing world, traditional advertising is cost prohibitive for entrepreneurial companies.
Oh, it is.
They're just not set up to allow you a window toward their readership.
Right.
So you have to do things like you've done to find alternate ways to reach that audience.
Well, and it's not just small companies. I was talking to, you know, since I've been in this business, it's kind of fun because you meet all different types of manufacturers and of all different sizes. And I think that even the bigger companies that, for instance, I was talking to the son of the founder of Cannondale Bikes the other day, very nice man. And he was, you know, that Cannondale is a huge company. And I'm thinking, why is he talking to me? Well, I think because he was from a big company, he feels that sense of entrepreneurship. It's almost like this fraternity of people who, you know, have this sense of we've created something, you know. Gary from Cliff Bar, I was talking to him too, and he was kind of guiding me through something. So, but what I was going to say about the Cannondale was that they have cut back on their marketing, and I know a lot of companies out there, a lot of big companies are realizing that, no, we can't do the huge trade shows anymore for, you know, $200,000. And so they're trying to get creative as well. So it's I don't think it's just, you know, the small companies anymore. I think big companies are starting to look at ways to cut corners.
Yes, I think that's one. I completely agree with you, Karen. I think it's one of the outgrowths of the the recession and the, you know, less demand, there's less revenue to go around and less expenses, and you have to start making some choices. And but it seems to me for entrepreneurial companies with an organic, it is a very logical evolution and growth strategy. And I'm glad to see that you embrace it.
Yeah, we're always trying to think of new creative ways to market. And then, too, when you do that, people remember. People will remember we have our tri-slide pit stops that we offer to race directors, that athletes, before you race, you go into transition. That's where your bike is racked up. And we offer the tri-slide and foggle pit stop, and they're big teardrop banners, and athletes can go to this tent, and they can use complimentary cans of tri-slide and wipe down their goggles. And that's the way that we're getting the word out there. And it's a unique way. And if you're unique, people remember that.
Unique and genuine. I agree. That's very memorable in a positive way. I'm going to ask Karen to stay with us through this next sponsorship break. And when we come back, I'm going to ask her to share with you her experiences marketing her products, getting them in the hands of the consumers for, you know, generating revenue, online, retail locations, etc. And so you're going to have an opportunity to learn from Karen's experiences when we come back, how this entrepreneur is positioning her products for sale in the marketplace. But first, here's a word from a sponsor.
If you are an Orange County business executive, this message is for you. Do you ever feel isolated with no place to turn for advice or feedback? Who holds you accountable to your commitments in your company? Where do you find the right resources to help you and your company grow? If you have these questions, then Critical Mass for Business might be the answer for you. Critical Mass for Business is committed to helping you make better decisions. These are groups of peers running businesses just like you, providing a great sounding board to test ideas and concepts, review plan and goals, and present issues and opportunities for discussion. The result is improved strategy, accountability, people, and execution skills. If you are interested in learning more, go to www.criticalmassforbusiness.com. and learn more about our executive peer group.
Welcome back to this installment of Critical Mass, the radio show. I am your host, Rick Franzi. Karen Allard is my guest, and we were just going to ask her to talk about her products being available retail locations, online, and sort of to share a bit of her experiences and maybe keys to success to be able to get the products moving in those channels.
So what we did in the beginning was, like I said, we had targeted the major triathlon stores in the country at the time, and I knew that if we got in those, then the smaller ones would follow, and same with the swim stores as well. Through my years of living with my father and many entrepreneurs in our family, everybody has advice, and also when we were starting the company, some of the people at the manufacturing plant, the chemist, they all had experience in all of this. And so they gave me some really good advice. They said, you do not want to grow too big, not right away, because there are headaches associated with that. So you need to sort of build your root system, as I would call it. And so what we did was, we pretty much infiltrated, you know, the United States and the triathlon and the swimming stores, and trying to get into the running and the cycling stores, pretty much the mom pops. And then if a sporting goods store came along that was maybe 10 or more stores, you know, a chain, that was always a plus too. Our biggest retailer that we have right now, or the most popular one, would be Dick's Sporting Goods. But we're only on the West Coast right now, and actually it's kind of a blessing, because if we were in all the Dick's Sporting Goods stores, I want to say off the top of my head they have about 300. I could be short on that or high on that. But even Targets, I mean, once you – and that seems to be the dream of all entrepreneurs. I want to get into Target first. And I always discourage people, because what happens is once you get into the larger stores, you have contracts. And they use a lot of the, a lot of the things that you would mess up on, like maybe the labels, putting it on the box wrong, or not getting it there in time. If you're back ordered, they deduct for that. So there's a lot of money you can lose going into the big box stores. So I say get into the smaller stores first, build the root system, then you can start going bigger. Because if you happen to get into the bigger stores first and you lose them, you have no company. If you get into the smaller stores first and then you get into the bigger ones and you lose a big company, you've still got the smaller stores for cash flow. So that's pretty much how we started, and it wasn't until about a year ago that we added our own online shopping, our own very own shopping cart. So, but we are available online as well through other stores. Retail in United States and Canada, New Zealand, UK, all over Europe, and
You know, that's interesting because you're a manufacturing company. You've said that a couple times in the interview, and people may not think of you as a manufacturing company, but you create product and you package it and sell it. Earlier this month, I had Tom Casey from Thrust Electric Bikes, and they're the first commercial-grade electric bike for the delivery industry. And pizza chains and restaurants are looking at their bikes because they're eco-friendly, but yet they also have a pretty impressive financial return if you look at the insurance, etc., that goes along with insuring a bike versus a car. And they've recently been approached by major package I think people could think of the two biggest ones, about doing test marketing of their bikes. And he sort of talked about the same thing that you did, which is it's everyone's goal to scale to that.
Yes.
But the challenges that he and his partner have to really sit down and consider what does it mean to provide test market, not just the initial small lots, but if, assuming they're going to go successful, which they will, how do we fulfill the demand as a manufacturing company behind all those outlets and what they may require? We may not be in a position to be able to do that successfully, so they have to be very careful about that. It feels good from a sales perspective, but when you're sitting there and you say, well, you know, I got to make money at this too, and I have to have positive customer experience, it can be, it may not be appropriate to go there first. And I think your words of advice are hopefully well taken by our audience.
Right, yeah.
Well, I only have a few minutes left to spend with you, Karen, so I want to make sure that we help people to understand how to find you online. So I would be remiss if I didn't say, tell us about your website and how people can find you online, Karen.
Okay, so our website is, of course, www, and then it's sbrsportsinc.com. So it's sbrsportsinc.com. And you can find us there. You can find, if you go to Where to Buy, if anyone's interested in any of our products, click on Where to Buy, and it'll have a drop down. You plug in your zip code, and it'll show the stores closest to you.
You know, I'm really excited about the future of your company because I also, one of the things that I look for when we have entrepreneurs on the show is, are there trends outside that's, you know, larger than the business that would benefit the business? And I clearly think the interest in extreme sports, you said open water swimming, triathlons, duathlons, I mean, just there's so much energy around, in a global way, this kind of outgrowth that I really think it's going to help your business directly as well over time.
Yeah, I think so. Hope so.
Well, I've enjoyed having you as our guest today.
Thank you
for the time you've put into being prepared. And the thoughtful conversation that we had, and I wish you continued success with your products and your business.
Thank you.
Karen Allard, ladies and gentlemen, of SBR Sports Incorporated, inventor of multiple products, really for the active athlete as well as the active individual. And I strongly encourage you, if you have the time, spend the time, visit their website and learn more about her products and her company. We're going to have a second interview, and it's really an interview that was conducted a little bit ago, and I'm going to talk to you about that. It's with Rob Lucente, who's the managing director for the office here at Deloitte in California, Orange County's office. And we're going to be talking with him and other members of his organization about Impact Day, which is a it's a 12th annual Impact Day, actually, which is a nationwide program that Deloitte has where they volunteer and support worthy causes in the community. So we'll be back, but first, here's a sponsorship message.
Smart Business Network is a business-to-business multimedia company providing insight, advice, and strategy for C-level executives of fast growth, middle market, and large companies. As one of the nation's largest publishers of local management journals, under the Smart Business name, Smart Business Network publishes 19 regional print editions, presents dozens of large and small-scale business conferences and award programs, and produces a vibrant interactive digital media presence. For more information, visit us at www.sbnonline.com.
Hi, this is Rick Franzi with Critical Mass, the radio show, and I have the pleasure of interviewing several people today, and my guests are...
Stella Longacre, principal at Jackson Elementary School.
Rob Luceni, office managing partner for Deloitte Orange County Practice.
Jaime Ramirez, assistant principal here at Jackson Elementary School.
Hi, I'm Michelle Kearns, and I'm the Impact Day Leader for the Orange County office.
What an exciting day. If you could see what I saw this morning, you would see a lot of Deloitte employees dressed in blue, excited to be here to work on various projects. I'm going to start by asking Rob to tell our audience about Deloitte's National Impact Day 2011.
Well, Rick, our National Impact Day is the first or second Friday in June. Our entire, all of our offices across the country take that day to give back to the community. So, you know, if in a perfect world we have 40,000 employees, we have 40,000 volunteers in the United States. Give or take, we have a very, very good turnout. We have, as we do today, and we have large numbers of our people in the community giving back. And that's the key. Here in Orange County, we have approximately 800 people in our office, and over 50% of our office participates Impact Day. Over 400 people are out in the community today giving back.
And how long have you been doing this?
We have been doing it for the last 12 years, and it was an initiative that started from a couple people in our consulting function, said, hey, we think this would be a good idea to give back to the community, and it'd be a good way to spend our time learning more about the community in which we work.
And how did your organization here in Orange County select Santa Ana and the school district?
That's a great question. And I'm very proud of what we've accomplished in Santa Ana. But the way we picked it, Michelle leads a group of people in our office that their responsibility is to identify where we can give back to the community. We're right in Costa Mesa, and through Michelle's research with her team, we've learned that Santa Ana has a very large population of young people going to school in the elementary, in the middle school, and the high school. And I think my numbers are directionally correct, but Santa Ana has close to 35 schools, close to approximately 35 schools in its city, and they all need something. And they all need help, whether it be refurbishing the campus, doing some landscaping, painting, and then we do skills-based work, too. We like to teach the students what we know about math and how, like, for instance, and how math applies to what we do every day. So all those things are really important to us. Santa Ana is really important to us because of its size, with that many students needing help, and also it's right in our backyard.
And what has been your history with Santa Ana?
Well, this is the 12th year, as we said, this is the 12th year we're doing Impact Day, and as Michelle, I always look to Michelle because she has our statistics, she's our office manager, and she leads our effort. But we've been to 14 Santa Ana schools, and we've affected over 8,000 students. So that to us is, it's very important to us because we really think that we've made an impact in the Santa Ana area. And as I said, you know, we're right on Bristol, and we're right down the street, and a better community means good for everybody. It means a great place to do business, and it means all of these students someday hopefully will be Deloitte employees.
So what do you think the outcome of today's event here will be? What are you looking forward to?
Well, hopefully, one, I don't want anybody getting hurt. I joke around about that. Accountants sometimes aren't the greatest people on ladders. But what we really hope for is a couple things. You know, the beautification is the easiest thing, you know, because from the sight lines, we're hoping that the students get a place that's maybe a little bit more colorful today. It brightens up their school, and it makes them feel good about where they're coming. But more importantly, if you look at what we're doing in the skill-based areas with our junior achievement program and our skills-based program, we're hoping that the students get an idea of understanding that, you know, if I learn math skills and I learn writing skills, that, you know, there's a job out there. I want to understand what those folks at Deloitte do, and there's a path for me to be successful. That's really important. That's really important to communicate to these kids, because I think kids have to have some kind of incentive to work themselves through the process. And I don't want to step in your world, but that's one of the goals that you can't see. You know, it's easy to see the paintings and it's easy to see the landscaping. That piece is really important to us.
Any examples of the impact of Impact Day that you would care to share with our audience?
Well, I think... when I walked up to you today, I think that's one of the initial impacts, which is the principals in the school district now come up to me and say, hey, I talked to, and it's usually another principal of a school that we're at, and they told us the impact that you had. To me, that's been one of the most gratifying things, I think, for Michelle and I to hear, because we're getting real-life feedback from the principals that you guys really did do a lot of good. And so that... we've gotten that consistent theme throughout this process, you know, so that's been good for us. Also, we're starting to see, because it's been 12 years, we are, you know, for the first time, we're starting to see kids that went to one of the schools that we were at start to go through that process, and we're starting to hear those kids going to college. I visited Cal State Fullerton's campus this past year, and one student came up to me in a classroom I was talking at and said, you know, you came to my elementary school for Impact Day. So that's a huge, you know, that's a huge piece of feedback for us of something that's very positive.
Right. If I could, I'd like to turn our attention just for a minute to the principal for the school and ask, what is your expectation of today?
I didn't really have any expectations. I knew they were coming, and I did not realize the scope, how thorough and how much they were going to do. I had communicated with Michelle, and my assistant principal, Jaime, had also been communicating, and we knew they were going to do this and this and this, and we were prepared for it, or so we thought. But when they actually come on the campus and you see all these T-shirts and the people, and they're just motivated and ready to go, and it was just made such a difference. It's still starting to, I'm barely starting to realize now how much they really do for school. Mm-hmm. And I've spoken with principals, colleagues of mine, and they say, oh, they're wonderful, but until they're on your campus, you really don't get the full effect until they're there.
So. Right. My wife, as I said before, is a sixth grade math and science teacher, and she loves math of the two subjects. That's her first preference. So to hear you say you're emphasizing the importance in math and those skills is really valuable, because our family believes that math is a very important skill to have. How do you think this day will translate to a longer-term impact for your students beyond the beautification? How do you think you might be able to keep today's energy alive for the rest of the school year?
We're a typical Santa Ana school. We serve a demographically challenged community, and these kids don't have a whole lot. And I think the impact is going to be is that we provide a safe haven for them. We are often the school. This is where they'll get their biggest meals, breakfast and lunch. And this is it's nice to have something like this, a place where they can go to that's clean, that's colorful, that's safe, that's friendly. And I want to emphasize safe. And it's pretty, and they'd love to come here. And when it's fixed up for them and it's so colorful and clean, they really do appreciate that, because it's a lot of times it's very different from when they go home. And Mr. Ramirez, jump in when you want.
Yeah, I do agree with you. I just can't wait to see their faces mm-hmm. when they come out, because we're right now everybody's like inside the classroom, so I want to see their faces when they come out and say, wow. I mean, I think it's going to create a huge impact on them, and they're just going to appreciate their school even more.
So at the end of the official activity here, the students get an opportunity to see the outcome of the physical beautification. Has that been the part of the Impact Days in the past?
It has.
And what's been your observation with that?
It's a terrific time. I mean, the kids usually get pretty darn excited when they see. The murals have probably the most impact. You know, the They're usually very colorful, and they're usually depicting a very, you know, either an athletic theme or an educational theme or a greening theme, and the kids really kind of gravitate to those types of things, which is great. You know, it has a huge impact for them because, as you said, it changes their view and their lens on what they see every day, which is terrific.
Did I hear correctly that this isn't the only place that your people are today? Are you in another location?
We are.
Okay.
We're at another school in Santa Ana doing a math-based math camp. And then we're at a place called Beverly's House. We're at a park doing a greening initiative. We're at another place helping women enter the business world by helping categorize and catalog clothes that they have the ability to go get to go for a business interview. And then we're at a place that helps helps women who've been exposed to domestic violence. And then the last place is we're at an Alzheimer's family house, and we're helping doing some beautification there at their facility.
Those are all great places to be. And, Michelle, that must take a tremendous amount of coordination to get it ready. Can you just share with our audience sort of how much behind-the-scenes work have you put into getting ready for Impact Day 2011?
Sure. Well, it's like a six-month planning process. We start in January, and we start marrying our passion with the nonprofit's needs. That's what it's all about for us. And so we have a team of probably like 20 people, and they are our volunteer council, and we just go out and pick project leaders. And it's almost like a pyramid effect. I mean, we have each task has a task captain, and they just manage all of the efforts.
Well, it's amazing that your company does this across the country. This is only one example of many.
That's correct. And like I said, in a perfect world, we have all 40,000 of our employees out there in the United States, and it is a pretty amazing day. You had asked a question about kind of our guiding principle. I would just say to you, I don't know that we have a guiding principle. Michelle and I carry this theme to our people when we talk to the Volunteer Council, which is we consider it a privilege to do business in Orange County, and it's our responsibility to give back to the community. That's what we hold. And when you ask those questions about why we're here in Santa Ana, mm-hmm. that's at the top of our mind.
And I find that to be very consistent with mid-market business owners, that a big part of what they do for the community is to give back and to be connected to the community. And that's part of the reason why I wanted to come out today, because I think it's a great example of how a larger organization, an international firm as well, can bring that to a local level. So I want to thank all four of you for giving us time on the radio show today. It was a pleasure to meet you, and I'm very impressed with the activities.
Thank you.
Can't wait to see the outcome. Thank you for your time.
Thank you very much.
Welcome back to the live version of Critical Mass, the radio show. This is your host, Rick Franzi, and I hope that today's show gave you ideas and information that you can use in our listening audience to make better business decisions, and also how your time might benefit members of your community, which I'm sure many, if not most, of the people that listen to Critical Mass do allocate a portion, if not a significant portion, of your time helping causes, worthy causes in your local community. So if you'd like to learn more about Critical Mass for Business, my business partner Doug Gefeller and I lead a boutique consulting firm here in Orange County, California, then check out our website, www.criticalmass4business.com, criticalmassforbusiness.com. And so this is your host, Rick Franzi, saying until the next show, I hope all your decisions move your company in a positive direction.
You've been listening to Critical Mass, the radio show only on OCTalkRadio.net.